Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for your word spoken in all the languages of the world, not just those that we heard today, but so many more. We give you thanks for those who have kept your word alive so that we might have it today. For those who have made it available to all the peoples of the world by translating them. And we pray that we might hear in them the truth that you have for us and have the will to follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A little girl asked her mother, "How did the human race appear?" And the mother said, "Well, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so was all mankind made." 2 days later, the little girl asked her dad the same question. And the father answered, "Many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved." The confused girl returned to her mother and said, "Mom, how is it possible that you told me the human race was created by God and Dad said they developed from monkeys?" The mother answered, "Well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family and your father told you about his." Now, we're not talking about creation and the coming of human beings or Genesis today. But I open with that partially because we've been studying the creation stories in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 in our Bible study for the past number of weeks. And this week we were talking about Adam and Eve and the temptation and the eating and the apple of being expelled from the garden. And it's become clear to us in that Bible study that the story is not so much about temptation and sin, although that's still there. But it's an attempt to understand who God is, or what kind of God the ancient Hebrews worshipped. And in many ways, Job is about the same thing. What is this God that Job and we pray to? What is this God like? Yes, it wrestles with the idea of suffering and struggles to understand what God is like and what God wants from us. However, the book is ultimately about understanding what this God we worship is like. A cartoon pictured a little boy kneeling in prayer and obviously disgruntled with the results of his prayers. He was saying, "Aunt Harriet hasn't gotten married, Uncle Hubert hasn't any work, and Daddy's hair's still falling out. I'm getting tired of praying for this family without getting any results." And I think we all have felt like this little boy, and I'm certainly Job felt that way as things began to be taken away from him. We heard about his health, but eventually he loses most all of his property. He loses his children. And I think Job and we at times feel like, does God care about us? Is God listening to us? The Reverend Robert Bull, a former moderator of the Presbyterian Church USA, in a sermon entitled, "What Has Religion Done for You?" writes the following. The book of Job reminds us of the dangers of believing in a God who rewards piety and virtue with prosperity and success. This is a popular God in America today. Millions of people base their whole belief system on the thought that if they think positively, wear a winning smile, show your religion publicly, tell people how much Jesus has given to you, then you will be a success and have peace of mind, and you will be spared all of the painful experiences. But into the midst of this distorted picture comes this incredible story of Job to remind us it's just not that way. Job was counted as righteous by God. And look what happened to him. Job reminds us that For believers, life is still hard. Job, the believer, is stripped of all that he had. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. What kind of God would allow that? Now let me say here that Satan is not the red evil guy with a pitchfork and a pointed tail. At least not in that thought of in that time period of time of history. Satan is that in that time was called the adversary, or as one writer called him, the prosecuting attorney of heaven, whose role is to report on the actions of humans to God. Satan had been going to and fro on the earth, and he comes back to report to God and the other heavenly beings. And after Satan shares his belief that Job will curse God if he's stripped of his wealth and everything else, God says, go ahead. Just don't take his life. And God trusted Job. He had every reason to trust Job. God was not testing Job. That was Satan's doing. And while it seems that in the end Satan won, or through most of the book it seems like Satan won, Job is faithful to God. Hangs in there with God, and to the point at the end that he can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Today we live in a world where many call themselves followers of Christ. And they are experiencing a life much like that of Job. After everything had been stripped from him, yet they still come to the table. They continue to worship God because it is God who gives them the strength to continue to live through the hardships. It is God who supports them when life is hard and painful. People living in violent countries like El Salvador, Rwanda, and other places around the world. People living among ruins like the people of Haiti, who just suffered another 5.9 earthquake yesterday. People living in despair of refugee camps in Iraq and Syria and other places of our world. People who worship in secret as they have in places in the past, such as China and North Korea. Life is hard. It's barely livable. And yet they come to this table to celebrate God, to give thanks to God. So as we gather at this table today, I hope we will see those people sitting at the table. Let us see our good fortune to have what we have is not because of a blessing by God, but because we had the blessing to be born in the places, times, and families that we were born into. Let us see that those others that I mentioned have a very different understanding of who God is. And that we might be able to learn something from them. I recall when I went to Kenya in 2006, some people were saying in our presbytery about the Kenyan partnership that they really didn't have anything to teach us. I beg to differ. I saw people living a life of faith out of their poverty, not out of their abundance. They know that God is not testing them, but that God is the one who is sustaining them. I think the question that Reverend Boyle asks is a good one. What has the church or what has God done for you? Maybe we need to ask that of ourselves from time to time. What has God done for me? And really think about the answer. So as you come to the table today, who do you imagine sitting there from around the world? Is it people just like you? Or is it people who live in some very difficult situations? what do they have to teach you about God? Amen.